myself a little bit. I've been teaching for about 5 years. I'm currently working in ELI in Seville. And the reason I'm doing this particular talk today is because I'm the Director of Studies at a summer school, so every week I have to do a training session for the new teachers. And for the first 2 or 3 weeks, it's fine. Hi, come in. It's fine because I just think, oh, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And then when we get to kind of weeks 5 and 6, you know, I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to do in this training session? So I ask the teachers, and everybody always says something practical, something that I can actually do in class tomorrow as opposed to theory of what you should be doing. So I put this session together based on activities that that I like or that work well or that are somehow useful, I think. So hopefully you'll agree with me. So, okay, here we go. So, before I do that, before I start, I want to make it clear that this is a workshop. So I hope everybody's in the mood for participation. Okay, so first thing I'd like you to do, I'm going to give you a small piece of paper, just write on it any old word you like, please. So, like, if you just take one and pass the rest back. Anything with that moment. Right, okay, so does anybody know what this symbol is? It's a question mark. It's the logo for something. This particular question mark is the logo for something.
Question of sport.
It's not a question of sport. That's a good guess. Okay, it's actually for Challenge TV, which is... Really surprised about this because nobody in the other session knew about it either. Okay, it's the quiz show channel on Sky TV and has been for about 15 years. This is basically the only channel that ever gets put on in my mother's house. And I love it because we sit there and watch quiz shows all day and it's, you know, really nice. But apart from that, every time I go home to my mother's house and we sit there watching Challenge TV, almost everything that comes on, I'm like, that'd work really well in class. This would work really well in class. And I do think that the games that are devised in quiz shows are often very good TEFL activities. So today is a collection of different things, different activities, which are derived from game shows. Okay, so have a talk to the person next to you. Why do you think games are important in the TEFL classroom? Why are games so important in the classroom?
Doesn't feel like working, doesn't feel like study.
For you or for the students?
Both.
Absolutely, yeah, I think so. It's far more interesting for yourself if you're doing something a bit more. So that's good because then presumably they're going to be enjoying themselves. Yeah? Any other reasons?
It's fun.
Yeah?
It's competitive. Mm? Some people like things. Well, like, I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why
so it gives you a sort of easy motivation. You don't have to compel them to learn. They're being competitive between themselves, hence they're motivated.
Right, it gives them some kind of reason for wanting to answer the grammar question correctly. Why else is competitivity important?
But does it stop people thinking so much about the mechanics and just get things more, make things more natural?
Yeah, can do. It depends on the game, I guess, but yeah, absolutely. Anything else? I've got 2 other reasons.
Maybe they're not confident in English, but they're confident in something else that they can demonstrate in the quiz.
I mean, I haven't got any of these type of games today, but I do a lot of things where you answer a grammar question and then for an extra 5 points you get to, you know, standard kind of thing, you get to throw a ball into a bin or something and get 5 points, and then, you know, it could be the worst student in the class, but you know, still it's really good with a, you know, a rolled up bit of paper, and then they get a bit of a buzz out of that.
Well, discipline for hyperactive kids?
Yeah, I think it really helps with discipline. I always have my students in teams, and then if everybody's working together to win a game, and you win 1 or 2 points for winning the game, and then somebody starts speaking in Spanish and they lose that point, that's kind of a, you know, it's a big thing. You know, you get a lot of peer pressure in helps a lot with your classroom management, I think. What about in the real world, about competition in the real world?
It's like an innate thing. It's something that everyone has. Competitive nature.
Yeah. I think some people are more competitive than others, but, I mean, this might be a bit of a cynical view on the world, but let's face it, we're all in competition all the time. You know, if we're going in for, if maybe two or three people are going for the same job, only one person's going to get that job. You know, if you're in a disco and you see somebody you like, there's probably three or four other people who are also trying to grab that person. You know, you're competing. If you're in the supermarket and you see an old granny going towards the till, you think, I'm going to get to that till before she does. You know, so there's always a kind of like... you know, whether you're competitive or not, there is an element in life of having to compete for whatever it is that you need to get. So I do think that it's important. Okay, so let's go ahead with the first... game. Okay, so I'm going to choose teams at random because nobody ever wants to volunteer. Okay, so I'd like everybody to stand up, if you will. Okay, we're going to get it this time. Tom, yeah. A female babbler.
Babbatress.
Good. Asking or demanding with passion.
Flagitation.
Good. A tightrope walker.
Funambulist.
Good. Government built by strangers or foreigners. Excellent. A person who deceives their boss.
Lord Spike.
Good. A dishonest politician.
A snorri
gusta. Excellent. Someone who sings using the notes do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Softest.
Good. And an unwell feeling, especially a hangover.
Wounded.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Now, thank you very much for your participation.
Yeah.
They do. They actually exist. They actually mean the things that I said.
Wow.
Of course, I'd never do words like this in class unless I was teaching... Even in proficiency, I don't think you teach these words, but to exemplify the point, obviously it's important that you don't know what the words mean. Okay, so let's revise the words. So, babblatress, what was the definition?
Female
babbler, yeah. Flagitation?
Begging or asking with passion.
Excellent. Funambulist?
Heterarchy.
Yeah.
Heterarchy.
Yeah, with Lord Spike.
Person who deceives their boss.
Good. Snolligoster.
Dishonest politician.
Good. Sophlogist.
A person who sings using Dori Mi Fa Sol La.
On fire. Wolfits.
Hangover.
Yeah, an unwell feeling, not hangover. Okay, so when I'm asking you for the definitions, are you giving me a more or less definition or word for word?
Nearly word for word.
Nearly word for word. Why?
Because it was repetition.
Yeah, because you've heard the definition lots of times, especially for the first few. Did you feel that it was getting more difficult as you went on? Okay, so I think this is why it's a useful game, because you're kind of really drilling the definition into the students. I would suggest putting more useful words at the top, because these are the ones that are easy to remember the definition for. But of course, I'd get them to copy that into their notebooks. Okay, so have a chat to the person next to you. What do you think this game will be useful for, and which levels would you feel comfortable doing it with? What do you think it's particularly useful for?
Vocabulary.
So, what kind of vocabulary activity?
For me, it would be for a specific vocabulary.
Yeah, so if you...
Things like medical vocabulary or military. Certain things that my students particularly want. But it's difficult to kind of teach them, because you have to sort of say what is the thing and what they remember.
Yeah. I mean, I do it as, you know, a vocab pre-teach for a reading or listening or something like that, but I think it works best for new vocabulary. If you're going to revise vocabulary, it will still work, but I mean, if you've got 8 words here and they remember 4, there isn't a lot of gameplay in that, because they're just whittling it down and the game's kind of over before you know it, and then somebody's like, oh, I haven't had a turn, and...
Would it work simplifying it for younger learners if you had flashcards and you're just showing the flashcard and they have to remember the word in order? Would it work?
It does work, but the problem is that, the problem that I find is that it's just difficult for you, because you've got, normally when you do flashcards you kind of, you show the front one and then you move it back, and then you've got to go back to the beginning, and then where is that in the pack? I find it difficult to do it that way. Okay, so what levels would you use it for?
Use your phrasal verbs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it works best for kind of, you can. I think you can do it with pre-intermediate, providing your definitions are short and clear. But it works best for intermediate upwards, really. I think with really low levels, it's very difficult for them to understand the definition that quickly. Somebody in the other session suggested that maybe you could do it with actions, which I think would work in theory, but it's very kind of labour intensive for you if you're going to be doing the same actions over and over again in the same order. It could be done, but I think it works best for kind of intermediate upwards, really. Okay, right, so next game is another vocab game. It's called My Bluff. Does anybody remember this quiz show? What's the premise of it? What do you have to do?
Make up the definition. Is that right? Yeah, you make up the definition of the word.
Is it when it says two lies and one truth? Someone has a proper definition.
Yeah.
And two others have made up their own.
Yeah.
And you can guess which is one.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So I need four volunteers to have this. Okay. Okay, yeah.
Do we stand?
Yeah, if you want. Just come to the phone. And one more person?
Are you recording this?
Yes.
One more person? Okay, excellent. Okay, so I want you to work in teams. Okay, so T and Rachel together, and I'm sorry, I don't mean it. Alison and?
Morgan.
Okay, right. So I'm going to give you these two words, so it has the correct definition on it, and I want you to write two false definitions. Okay, so these two words work together. It might be easier if you just nip outside the room with a pen.
Right.
Okay, that's my two. Okay, and again, if you would like to go just somewhere so we can't hear what you're saying.
Two for each, right?
Yeah, and it should take about 3 or 4 minutes. I'll come and collect you. Okay. In the meantime, with everybody else, I'm going to show you a quick warmer or filler that I like to do. It's called the three letters game. So, I'm going to give you three letters, and you have to make the longest word you can think of which contains these letters. So, this is it. For example?
Character.
Very nice. How can you make that longer?
Character.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, so you can use the letters in any order, anywhere in the word. Okay, so I'm going to give you 30 seconds to make the longest word you can think of. I'm going to change the letters. Okay? Because otherwise everybody would just have characterisation. Okay, ready? Go. Okay, so in class I'd go and elicit everybody's words individually or a team spot. Who's got a long word? Yes?
Geographically?
Oh. Very nice. How many letters is that?
40.
Good. Okay. I think kind of 10 upwards is a good score. Yeah. Anybody got a longer word than that? Or a different one? Okay, right, geographically is the winner then. Right, let's try another one.
Let's
go.
I find Spanish words always come into my head before English.
Yeah, I've been
allowed
Spanish
words. Is that a word?
Make up
one.
Okay, stop. Okay. We got one?
No.
Looking at all?
Infinitely.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's fine.
Information.
Okay, yeah.
One information.
Very nice.
Infrastructure.
Okay, so why has anybody got one longer than infrastructure?
Infrastructurally.
But floppy knocking are hilliprolification.
That's exactly the pronunciation. Well, that's, at least that's exactly how somebody pronounced it in the session that I've just done. So yeah, that is the longest word apparently in the dictionary. Okay, so why do you think this one is, this game is so useful? What does it encourage you to do?
Think.
Yeah.
Not bad one.
Yeah, okay, so you think of this and you think of...
Words to think of prefixes.
Yeah, and I think it's really good. The first few times you play it, they don't do it. And then you kind of elicit, you know, you can put S or Asian or Ment or whatever it is, and you're encouraging them to kind of expand the word. And you can do it for... You can do one round in 30 seconds if you want. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're looking? Okay, so one of our teams is ready. The other team are just putting a little bit of extra thought into their into their definitions, if you'd like to come.
I've got gum, sorry.
That's okay.
I've got gum.
Hang on, you know.
How did the butcher introduce his wife?
Meet Ellie.
Okay, so
I'm going to show the word here, and one of the people has got the word on their card, and they're going to read the definitions in a random order. Stand if you would. Okay, so read your definitions in a random order so we don't know which one is the correct definition. Ready? Okay, so the first word is Leicester. Who has Leicester?
Okay. Definition number one, a female liar. Definition number two, a native of Leicester. Or definition number three, the agricultural unit which collects eggs from battery hens.
So have a chat to your partner, which do you think is the correct definition? Okay, what do we think?
Should I give you the answer?
Yep.
It is in fact definition number one, a female liar.
Okay, let's have a look at the next word. So the next word is Laurentatious.
Laurentatious. Definition number one, of avian origin. Definition number two, describing kisses given or received under the mistletoe. Definition number three, a thorny or prickly personality.
Okay, have a chat to your partner, which do you think it is? You guys can have a guess at what you think. Okay, so which do we think it is?
Three.
Okay, I can't remember which one it is.
It is in fact number two. The kiss is given under the mistletoe.
Yeah, let's have a look at that. The next one is erination.
Erinaceous. Water that has a high sediment content, exceedingly ambitious, or like a hedgehog.
Like a hedgehog.
Have a chatty party.
I'm too lost to get one.
Exceedingly ambitious.
Okay, which do we think is the answer?
Two.
Three.
It's actually the third one, like a hedgehog. Like a hedgehog. I feel like it's for every film, it's hedgehog. So I thought that might be a trick.
I'm not that clever. But okay, and the last one, rhenarium.
Rhenarium. The synthetic material used for cosmetic surgery of the nose. Rhino habitat, specifically in a zoo or specialised environment. The hairless and moist nose of some mammals.
Have a chatty partner, which do you think it could be?
If you've got an allergy in the nose, it's pretty
close. Okay, which one is the answer?
Three.
The answer is the hairless and moist.
Oh, I got one right.
Okay, so who got all four right?
Yeah, right.
Three. Two. Okay, good. Okay, excellent.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Have a sit down. Okay, so. Have a think with the person next to you. What are the main uses for the game? Who would you use it with? And why do you think it's useful? Okay, so what do we think? What's it most useful for?
Idioms.
Could be useful for that. Yeah.
Where words come from, the structure, the roots of the word.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It might help to sort of internalize the language because you're looking at the roots and then you're looking at what association it causes and you're trying to apply logic and not just learning kind of a word and a definition.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really useful for... first and foremost, obviously, it's so that they learn the definition of the new vocabulary item. But more than that, I think there's an element of looking at a word and having a guess of what it could mean based on the root, exactly. Somebody said as well that it would be really useful for false friends, and I think that if you're kind of guessing that it's that, and then you find out that that's wrong, that's kind of more imprinted in your memory. Now, obviously, the game works a bit differently in a setting like this because only four people wrote definitions. But I think that there's also a little bit of writing practice in there because you have to make it sound like a feasible definition. Otherwise, the other team are going to guess that it's definitely not that because that doesn't even sound like a definition. You know, so I think there's, you know, the students kind of they put a lot of effort into making it sound like a real, you know, like it's something feasible. And again, it's something which the students enjoy, kind of trying to trick each other. But again, I do think it works better for higher levels, really.
I think it works really well, like you just said. I didn't think of that as a writing exercise. I think the people writing the definition probably got more out of it than because it made my confidence just go, because I think I only got one right. So,
okay.
Good exercise for writing.
Yeah, I mean, in class, I would put, if I had 12 students, I would give each pair a word, then everybody's writing definitions. And then we're reading them out to the rest of the class. I think students are normally happy when they guess it correctly, but you know, everybody guesses incorrectly so often that It depends on your students, of course, but I don't think they lose a lot of they lose a lot of confidence.
It's interesting the comparison between a previous activity because you immediately remembered the definition because of the repetitions, uh-huh. where the definition sentence went. Open head.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Just an observation.
Yeah. I mean, it's two very different ways of teaching new vocabulary, and I think that they have different strengths and weaknesses. You can do this where you write your own definitions, but that's very labour intensive for you in the planning stage. And obviously, also it takes a lot longer. It takes a lot longer in class to actually do the activity like this. But they do get more out of it in terms of
the... For writing for them, that's brilliant.
Yeah. But again, I mean, obviously there's always pros and cons with these things. Okay, good. So let's have a look at the next one. Is just a minute. It's not actually a game show, it's a radio show. So does anybody know how it works? Yes, Tom.
The aim of the game is to speak for a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from a topic.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe
radio
definition. It is on Radio 4. Yeah. And on Radio 4, it's normally comedians, isn't it? So the idea is that it's then funny to listen to. So, is anybody a stand-up comedian in the room? Okay, and would anybody like to volunteer to play? I need three people.
Lauren does.
Yeah, if you want to, yeah, absolutely. Jane. Morgan, Jane. Lauren.
You're pretty funny.
Okay. Okay, back. Somebody else?
Are you up?
Okay, Tom, I get on. Okay, so if you'd like to just stand here. So I'm going to give you a minute, and I'm going to ask Morgan to start speaking first. If he hesitates or repeats what he's already said, or he deviates from the topic, you can shout hesitation, repetition, or deviation, and take over the turn. Whoever is speaking at the end of the minute is the winner. So it could be that somebody has spoken for 57 seconds, and you speak 3 seconds, and you win. That's, that's life. Day of the day, isn't it? Okay. So, would you like to choose a topic at random?
Oh, great, it's actually mine.
Oh. And the topic is?
Serendipity.
Okay, right. This is the point where you start to rebel what you've written. Ready? Let's go.
Within the situations of everyday life, you will sometimes find yourself encountering coincidences which are more favourable to your aims than you might possibly have guessed. And the dictionary... Do you want to... these particular events often cause a spontaneous feeling of greater purpose or some form of... repetition of yeah. Okay, so Serendipity, I believe, was a film as well as being a word in the English vernacular. I've repeated myself. You can find a word in thesauruses and dictionaries, much like you can in Spain as well. On the internet, you can also find the word. I'll keep repeating the same stuff.
Excellent! You're the winner. Okay, thank you very much. Sit down and have the word back. You can sit down. Okay, so have a chat to your partner. What is the exercise useful for, and who would you use it with, and who wouldn't you use it with? What kind of exercise is it? What is it useful for practicing?
Improvisation.
Yes.
Fluency.
It's really a fluency exercise, isn't it? Which is useful specifically, I think, for exam preparation in FCE and PET as well. They have to speak for, not officially for a minute, but really they should be able to do an extended stretch. They can hesitate during the minute, of course, in real life. The example, yes.
You're saying it would be really useful, maybe instead of a word, put up a picture. One person start describing the picture,
yeah.
And then the next person, they can't repeat any part of that, so they have to use those skills they need in the PET.
On topics.
Absolutely.
Topics as well.
Yeah.
Family.
lifestyle topics would be more.
Mm? Yeah, I mean, I think in class I would do it where I've prepared the topics, or later in the year I'd say write a topic that you think might come up in the, you know, in pet speaking part one. I wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be speaking about serendipity, for example. But obviously with a group of teachers, it's you know, things are slightly different. Okay, so are there any classes that you wouldn't use it with, and why not?
I do it with my kids' classes to a certain level, like kids-ish. But I often just ask one of them in the class for a letter of the alphabet. Like L on the board, I say you've got 3 minutes to write, you know, as many nouns or verbs or just words sometimes in English, starting with L, and then say, okay, 1, 2, pair them off. So ones you're going to speak for 1 minute about number word number 5 on your list.
Okay.
And so they count down, and it might be lemons, it might be large or something, if I couldn't do anything, and they speak for 1 minute. While their partner, I kind of make them teams, so their partner has to listen, and if they get stuck, their partner often asks them a question or something. I make it a team exercise,
okay,
they speak
yeah.
for 1 minute,
yeah.
they get 100 points. If they don't speak for 1 minute, they get... certain amount of points. Oh, it's right.
Yeah.
All right.
The number of points whittling away. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody raised the point earlier that they would have felt extremely embarrassed coming up to the front of the class to do that kind of exercise. I think it depends a lot on the class. It's often better to do it once they've seen how the game works. It's better to put them in small groups and then they can play. But then you have to trust them to play fairly, because you do kind of get one group in the corner who are like, hesitation, no, I'm not hesitating, you know, you get that kind of thing sometimes. So it depends a lot on your students. But it's primarily a fluency exercise, but I've also done it as an accuracy exercise. And instead of hesitation, repetition, deviation, I do third person S, Spanish, done, stand, speaker, smile, all of that, and missing subject. I like it because he's good, you know, and all of those kind of things. I don't know about you guys, but I've got students, even in my FCE class, this kind of thing, he go to the shop. He played football, yeah. He played football on Saturday. You know, it's really, really common. And, you know, it got me thinking one day. I remember this one particular day. I was like, marking a writing. I was like, for goodness sake, you know, we're at FCE level. Why are we still doing this? And I thought there must be some reason why we're doing this. And so I thought, in order to tackle this, it was a pet class, actually. And I wrote an example on the board in Spanish. Yeah. Call the police. Yes, I know. I wrote on the board in Spanish. I did it. And I wrote, yo tengo, and then underneath, él, and elicited, tiene. And I was like, right, okay, so then is it okay to say, él tengo un perro? And the class just went absolutely wild. They were like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. And then, your Spanish is terrible, and, you know, all that kind of thing. Why I did it was to try to exemplify that you can't just use the wrong conjugation, because it doesn't, first of all, it doesn't make sense, and secondly, it just sounds stupid. And then one of the students put his hand up and he said, yeah, but you can't do that in Spanish. And I kind of looked at him and he said, it's just not that important in English. And then I was like, right, okay, I've got to the root of the problem now. They don't care. This is the problem. They just don't care about the third person. They know, but they just think it doesn't matter. And the only way that I could think of to get them to care was if they were going to lose a game because of it. And now it is a bit of a difficult one, because, you know, do you really want to be punishing people for making mistakes?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because you know, making mistakes is a natural part of a language learning process, and it's crucial that you make those mistakes and not feel embarrassed about it. So you do have to be careful if you're going to do it like this, but I think sometimes it is a useful exercise to kind of drill into them, you know, we're at FCE and we're going to get the present simple right, if nothing else, do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Okay, let's have a look at the next The next game is Blankety Blank. Okay, who remembers how this game works? Okay, would you like to explain how it works?
I was going to the supermarket when my blank broke.
You have to guess the missing word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe a bit more exciting sentence.
Okay, you have to guess the missing word, or what does your word have to be?
Noun.
You have to pick your celebrity and you have to match.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so let's do an example. Okay, yesterday I went to the blank.
Bank.
It's not bank.
Train station.
Nope.
Supermarket.
Excellent. Okay, so the idea is obviously that there isn't one correct answer, there are many different correct answers, or you know, potentially correct answer. And the idea is that you have to get the same as your partner. Okay? So I'm going to give you a sentence and you have to write down what goes in the blank without discussing it with your partner. Okay? So the sentence is, Claire Frisbee, talking about a jumbo hot dog on Look North, said, there's nothing like a big hot blank inside you on a cold night like this. Okay? Write down what you think goes in the blank. Okay, you ready?
I know.
Okay, so compare with your partner, what do you think it is? If you get the same as your partner, you get one.
That's what I said.
Well, no, but we got one.
I'm going to let you have that. It's not that, but it's very similar. It's an eating cage. Okay, so why is this one different from the others? Right, so that means what? Exactly. Yeah. So you have it has to be something eaten, doesn't it? To fit grammatically. Okay, so again, have a chat with your partner. What would and wouldn't you use it for, and how else could it be adapted? Level, but I mean, sometimes I have them sitting back to back, and they have to write their words on mini whiteboards, and then they show up and they both turn their words around at the same time, and if it's the same, then they get excited, and if they have the same word as each other, then they get a point for it, and you can do it as a competition like that. Yeah. Or you can do it where if you've got a team of four students, you have one person at the front from each team, and then the team who is sitting down have to write it on a piece of paper or a mini whiteboard, and then the person at the front says it orally, and then they turn it round to see if it's the same. You can do it that way. There's different ways that you can do it. Okay, so what do we think is, what's it most useful for?
Getting to see words as part of sentences, so looking at what part of speech it is.
Yeah. So it's really useful for revising. This is another thing that they often, you know, the verbs of liking plus ing, they get wrong. So if they've got an infinitive here, then they can't have it because it's not. It's not grammatically correct, so you can do it to revise vocab. I think for any exam where you've got a gap text, you know, you need the right part of speech and it's completely gone out of my head. What do you call that? Where an
open close.
Not the open close.
Transformation.
Keyword transformation.
Yeah. Word formation, so the word formation exercise from FCE exams, if you do it like that, it's the same exercise really, but it's just a bit more, and you don't give them the word, so because then there could be you know, different potential answers. As well, I do it a lot for any gap text on a listening. I read the sentences from the listening, and they have to guess what the answer is. And then when we listen, they see if they're correct or not. Because I think this is a big problem that students have in listening exams, is they get however long it is, 45 seconds to read the text, and you say, okay, so read the questions before we listen, and they all just go like that for 45 seconds, and then when the listening starts, they're like, oh, I haven't actually read this, and they've got no idea what they're supposed to be listening for. And I do find as well that, especially at FCE level, if you give them just the listening text and say what goes in the gap, or you give them the sentences, what goes in the gap, they guess correctly half the time anyway before they've even heard the tape, because it's just something that makes sense, that something that is logically goes in that gap. So I think it's a really useful exercise to do. Okay, so last game I'm going to show you is from a Spanish quiz show called Me Caigo. Has anybody seen that? Do you know how it works? So what happens? You fall through the hole, yeah, so you have a big trapdoor, which I haven't brought with me. Okay, but what? How does the actual game work?
There's a game with some of the letters building.
Yeah.
For the answer.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to show you a word with most of the letters missing and the definition. Have a chat with your partner. Okay, cover your notes, because otherwise that would just be cheating, and we don't permit that. Okay. So I'm going to show you the word with some of the letters missing. You have to remember what the word is. Okay.